We're joined in the studio by a criminal lawyer, Daniel Friedman. Now, Daniel, first question. Is John Gomeshi going to jail?
Well, let's just get right to it.
That's the question that we're asking.
I like that, Fred. You got right to the point. The answer is, if he is found guilty of, let's say, all the charges, there's a very high likelihood he could face a jail sentence. As you may know, one of the charges, the choking charge, that does carry a possible maximum sentence of life. So not to say he's going to get anything near that, but it just shows you a sense of how serious these charges are.
I just don't see a guy like that going to jail because he's rich, man.
That's a good point you make, and rich people apparently don't go to jail.
It's
an unspoken law.
But why?
Well, you know, he has a defense counsel, Marie Heenan, who's a great counsel, and a lot of these people, they can afford the best of the best. That being said, though, the law does apply equally to everyone. So if the charges warrant a conviction, then a conviction will very likely ensue. And if a conviction ensues, then you could be facing serious jail time.
And he's charged. What is he charged for?
He's got like 15
again?
People that have come forward.
Yeah, but there are specific things that he's being charged for.
That's correct. He has four counts of sexual assault.
Right.
And one count of the choking or overcoming resistance. Apparently, there are about 9 other allegations of people coming out of the woodwork, but only 3 of these actual complainants have been made a party to the actual charges.
And the choking is the most severe of all of them,
you're
saying?
That's correct. The choking carries a maximum of life. The sexual assault carries a maximum of 10 years.
So if he's guilty on account of the choking, he's going to jail for the rest of his life.
Not exactly. I can tell.
Why are there so many loopholes?
Mel, I can tell you went to law school and you know exactly what you're talking about, but notwithstanding, he is not going to, I can't say for sure, but I can almost say for sure he's not going to jail for the rest of his life. If he is convicted of all these charges, he could be looking at pen time, meaning above 2 years in a federal penitentiary. However, it's very unlikely. I mean, sexual assault is a very, very broad offense. You can be looking at anything from full, I guess, unconsensual intercourse, anything down the spectrum to even a pat on the butt. So obviously you aren't going to be facing 10 years jail if you just do a pat on the butt. You could escape with even not even a criminal record. So it's really going to come down to the facts of the case, which at this point are largely unknown because of the publication bans.
Now, this is one thing that kind of raises a few questions with me is he's kind of in this gray area where he's saying that he thought this was consensual based on previous encounters with other people. Is that going to play a role in this?
It'll definitely play a role. There's a few points that come from that. First, the fact he made a statement. Any criminal lawyer is going to tell their client, keep your mouth shut. You have a right to silence, exercise it. The reason is he's saying, well, this happened by consent. If anything changes and, for example, the victim's story slightly changes and he wants to say, no, that never happened, it makes it a bit difficult that he already said it was consensual because now he'd be saying, oh, well, before I said it was consensual, but now I'm saying it never happened. So even if some things change, you want to avoid making a statement. You don't want to give the Crown any additional ammunition. Also, an interesting point on consent, Section 273.1 of the Criminal Code states, firstly, that even if the victim ostensibly consents, if that consent was a product of, say, the accused improper use of their position or power or authority, then consent can be vitiated. It also states that...
What's vitiated mean for anybody who doesn't know?
Well, if you don't know, you don't deserve to be listening.
But aside
from Mel, of course. Vitiated means negated. Now, another issue that section raises is that if they initially consent and things, say, get out of hand, they are able to withdraw their consent. So if the complainant says, yeah, let's do all this, and then things get to go a bit crazy, and she says, you know what, please stop, this is not what I want, and the accused continues, then consent is again vitiated, as you prefer to call it.
Yeah.
So that is...
So it's all about catching them in a lie, basically. Catching Gian or one of these women who are coming forward in a lie.
That's correct. Pretty much these types of sexual assault cases, they usually come down to credibility. They're usually he said, she said.
Because
unless you're one of those guys, odds are not many people are watching, and it's only going to be you and the other person, and those are the witnesses who will have to provide evidence. And it's really going to come down to who does the judge believe, and in any event, does the judge believe beyond reasonable doubt, or if there's a jury, does the jury believe beyond reasonable doubt that this person has committed the offense?
Right, because you can't really prove whether it's consensual or not after the fact.
It comes down to the circumstances. What do the circumstances suggest? And what is the evidence tendered at trial? Who is worthy of belief?
Now, this lawyer he's got, this legal team, like, I've been reading that they're the best of the best. Is this woman, like, really...
Yeah.
Like... Keanu Reeves in The Devil's Advocate here?
I'd say she's more like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix.
Okay, even but, worse.
So she definitely, I mean, all these hotshot lawyers, they're up there for a reason. They've taken on these cases. They've proven themselves successful. And it's not a coincidence that the high-profile accused go to these high-profile cases. It's because these people certainly know what they're doing and have experience in these types of matters. So he's in good hands, let's put it that way.
Now,
hold on a second. Sorry, I'm cutting you off. I've just got one question related to her. Is her strategy going to be to poke holes in all the statements that these witnesses are making? Is that what she's going to do?
Absolutely. That's pretty much any strategy at any trial. You want to raise reasonable doubt. You want to, as much as possible, show that the statements of the witnesses or complainants or victims, whoever they may be, are not as credible as they think and cannot lead to a absolute certainty, or at least beyond reasonable doubt, belief that this person committed the offense. So raising doubt and maybe where these things happened, when they happened, why these people did not come to the police earlier, these are all questions that should and will be raised to bring about some sort of doubt as to did Ghomeshi actually commit these allegations that he faces.
Now, you as a professional...
No one's ever called me that.
With your big, glorious lawyer brain, in a nutshell, what do you think the outcome will be?
Or is that against the law for you to weigh in on this?
Are you allowed to answer that question?
Well, it's against the law to say what will happen because, of course, it's out of my hands. I can speculate, but there's not too much value to my speculation. But I think it's going to come down to really how credible these witnesses are. And I get asked that question all the time by clients. I'm charged with assault. What's going to happen? And that to me is sort of like going to a doctor and saying, my stomach hurts. What's the problem?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in order to find out, it could be a broken rib. It could be a stomach ache. It could be food poisoning. To make an informed assessment, you need the disclosure. You need the Crown's evidence. You need all the materials before you. And right now we have pretty much none of that at our disposal, so it's very tough to say what's going to happen.
So once the trial starts, and once, you know, some information starts coming about, then will you come back and tell us what you think?
I will most certainly come
back.
Okay,
good.
I will give you a definitive answer.
Okay, good.
At that time.
Excellent.
Daniel, thank you so much for coming
no
on
problem.
The show. You got a like a law firm too, right?
I do, Freudman Law.
Buddy.
Nice.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime.
The Fearless Fred Show with Fred and Mel. 102.1 The Edge.